Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show, produced by Ever Beyond Radio and broadcast on Wolf Spirit Radio on the first and third Sundays of the month at 7 p.m. UK time. Simon actively encourages you to join the conversation by using the Ask Question menu link at the top of the page at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Please come early to ask your questions. Now, on with the show. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon in playing an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
And you're on.
Hello, JP. Hello, audience. How are you?
Hi, Simon. How are you doing?
Really well. So I didn't do a show last week, did I? We just did the updates. I dared to take a holiday, took a few days vacation. So it's been a while since, been on the show. So thank you for, doing the updates for me, JP. That was great last time.
Yeah, well, people are now probably aching inside to hear your voice. And tell me, how was your holiday? Did you get the recreation that you required?
Recreation? That's a good word. Well, for those who don't know, my great passion is fossil collecting. Ever since I had an off-planet experience back in 1971. So I went out and did some fossil collecting. That's my sort of meditation. I find it quite difficult to traditionally meditate. So weather was fantastic, went out and found a few things, and I was really pleased with that. So yes, it was great. And then, of course, the week started and it just poured and poured with rain. And I thought, well, that was good. I had a good holiday. And then this weekend, the sun has come out again. So looks like we've been a bit lucky.
Fabulous. And so you're in summer mode, traveling around, doing some conferences and things?
Well, I did the did two conferences last weekend. I did a conference in Birmingham and then drove straight down to North London to Watford and did a conference on the Sunday. The Sunday conference was organized by Kerry Cassidy, and she very kindly asked me to be one of the guest speakers. I've done a number with Kerry, and I always find when Kerry does it, it's rather exciting because there's a good range of speakers and always well attended. And plus the venue at High Elms in Watford is a really nice venue, so you can open the windows and you can look out on the grassland. Interesting speakers. Did actually turn up on the Saturday, although I wasn't speaking on the Saturday. I did turn up because I wanted to hear some of the speakers. Peter Padgett, he was there, I caught the tail end of Michael Shrimpton, his talk, and a couple of others, Miles Johnson had come in to do a talk, but I had to leave the room because I had other things to do. So all in all, that was it's a good conference, and I wanted to thank the London CC group, the London Connecting Consciousness group, who turned up en masse in strength. And the energy in that room no doubt was helped by London CC Group, who are such a balanced and highly spiritual group. So whenever you have a conference or a venue, you want London CC there because it helps to really positively ground the group, the whole group, I mean the audience. And after my talk, of course, I went out and sat with them in the glorious sunshine on the grass and had about 20 minutes with them. And it was just lovely to meet them all again, someone new, some obviously I knew, and introduce new people. So, yes, I've been busy doing a few bits and pieces.
Good stuff. There's a bit of a problem. The weight of listeners has broken the website once more, and of course I can't get into my questions because it's in the back end of the server. It restarts itself after a few minutes. So
don't worry about it. I'll keep talking. I've got my up. I'll, Is the audience still able to hear us? Are we still on?
Those who are still there and haven't tried to refresh it. There are other ways to get here, but obviously if you're hearing this, then you don't need to hear it. You can go to everbeyondradio.com. You can also go to wolfspiritmedia.com. That's a new website I've just started, but it's got a player on there. You can listen to the show on that. It happens every time, doesn't it?
You know what, JP, what we need is a very wealthy funder to buy you extra bandwidth or whatever it is we need.
Big fat server.
Well, I'm going to carry on and it reboots itself automatically.
Yes, it'll fix itself in a few minutes and everybody will be able to get on. So why don't you do your announcements and maybe also your, donations.
Thank yous. Yeah, I call them the thank yous. Right, okay. Let's do the thank yous first. Then we might have more people for the news, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, it's longer list than normal, which is good because we're waiting for this thing to reboot. But it's a longer list because, obviously, I wasn't here 2 weeks ago. So, first of all, I want to thank everyone who's donated. I haven't been able to mention everybody. And it doesn't really matter whether you donate a lot of money or a little money. Some people donate £1, and that's great. It's what I need. That pound will probably help me to drive to the next conference, or it helps me to support someone who doesn't have any money. So, the other thing is that one person once asked me, if two people named Tom or two people named Joanne donated, did I write them both down or did I write just one name down? And I said, well, I actually write both down when it occurs, and we will see that happens here today. So I don't just say, oh, there are two people named Smith, I'll just put one in, because that wouldn't be fair. So I want to thank Anne, John, Terry, Joland, Sandra, Manuel, Rudolph, Benjamin, Stephen, Alan, and Nekil, I'm sorry I can't pronounce that correctly, Sabine, Ingard, George, Cherylyn, Natalie, Joanne, there are two Joannes actually, first Joanne, Jason, Richard, Samantha, Virginia, Magdalene, May, Lewis, Julius, Bill, the second Joanne, Shari, Albert, I think that's Marita, yeah. Chanty, drum set, N. Mort. Now that's not the full name, but the person put their full name in. They usually give me a first name, please. I don't want to give your second name out because, you haven't given me permission. So the Mort is just a shortened version of the second name. And John, Bob, Ursula, Charlene, Susan, Gary, Daniel, Michael K. Michael, this is for Michael K. Thank you very much. I've not been able to talk to you as I wanted to. I did want to have a chat, and I promise this week I won't be as busy, and we need to catch up. So, Michael, I am thinking of you. Don't worry. Imogen, Gillian, Fugio, Mia, Enrique, Aaron, Jeff, DFW, Anne, Louise, Tom, Edgar, Bernard, Sue, nearly finished, Christopher, and Jackie, turn the page over, George, Sandra, Tina, Shamsa, Jim, Alicia, Maria, Jerry, Philippa, and finally, Joanna. So to everybody that I've named, thank you very much. To those that you haven't named, you are just as important, but I ran out of my piece of paper. Hopefully you'll get mentioned next time. Thank you also very much. Okay, JP, has the machine rebooted yet?
Not yet. So, let's,
Go on to the news anyway.
Yeah,
now.
Do the news bit. And it's basically everybody's cramming in to get in through like a tiny double door, like 500 people. So, I can see that the number of people going up, but, the server is still down because people are all crashing into it. So, hopefully we'll have this, up in about, it usually comes up at about 15:15. So if you give your news, we'll do that.
Right, okay. And we will have to find this very wealthy funder so that we can have a bigger bigger thing, won't we, eh?
Well, that, right. Or I'm actually making a new website. So there is a under construction one called wolfspiritmedia.net. No, wolfspiritmedia.com. 1111. And that is the, that's a completely independent site. So, if obviously people who can't hear this show won't hear this, but, you can direct people to wolfspiritmedia.com and that will connect them in. Yeah.
Right.
Please go ahead.
I will. Here we go. Some of this I mentioned at the conference, and frankly, it's only fair if it's not life-threatening that I do actually mention it at a conference if I can before the radio show, simply because people have been able to, you know, travel long distances to come to the conference, show their support, pay the entrance fee, and it's good that they get information heads up first. You know, then the radio show gets it sort of 2 or 3 days later. But in this case, it was last week. So some of these elements that I mentioned at the radio show, because nobody else had picked up on it, and Kerry Cassidy and some of her subsequent interviews and works has given me a few mentions, because she was particularly interested in the Grenfell, excuse me, Grenfell fire, and the terrible thing that happened with that tower. And there were a number of speakers at her conference who referred to it. The difficulty that we have is that vast majority of people within our alternative industry are still viewing this as a tragic accident. I don't. And a number of other speakers are beginning now to put some pieces together. And their information is quite interesting. So we always have to bear in mind that this is a real genuine tragedy, and that many people are affected by it. So we have to be sensitive. We have to be careful. But at the same time, it's balancing that with trying to tell people that something's going wrong, something's happened. So at the conference, I started off by saying, does anybody know what the Twin Towers and Grenfell Tower shared? And nobody got that right. Probably they knew it, but they didn't possibly understand the question, because it was quite exciting and it's quite hot in the room. The answer is that both the Twin Towers and Grenfell Tower were reinsured. In terms of the Twin Towers, it was just weeks before the disaster, and Grenfell was a bit longer, but both towers were reinsured. In Grenfell's case, it's reinsured with a Norwegian company, and unusually, the clause that was agreed was not just for the structure of the building, but for any loss of life. Now that, for me, is a clincher. You reinsure something, you don't just reinsure it in case it burns or explodes, but you reinsure it for any deaths that occur. It's very hard to get any truthful information out of the established media, but if we said that this insurance company was probably going to pay out in excess of $1 billion, then you're probably looking at the truth. Right. Of course, what they didn't share, that's what Grenfell Tower and Twin Towers didn't share, was that the Twin Towers fell down and Grenfell didn't. And what I did was I wrote the word Grenfell on a piece of A4 paper in the conference and said, look at the end of the word, is F-E-L-L, which stands for fell. And I said, the tower didn't fell. Grenfell Tower didn't fall. And then I took the two L's and did just two sticks, and then showed a clip from Back to the Future, where there was a clip where the car had taken off or landed, gone through time, and there was two lines of burning fire on the road, and then the number 9 as a neon sign in the shop, and it was 9/11. So Back to the Future, they were showing the 9/11 was going to happen, and the two sticks on the fell remind me of the Twin Towers. So that was important, and it obviously struck a chord with Kerry, because she'd been talking to other people. And I think it's quite frustrating, because so many people in our industry are just accepting this as a tragic, which it is, but as an accident. The other thing is I absolutely know that the police, the fire and the ambulance services in Great Britain have been told that they cannot release the true death toll because the government is fearful of a revolution. Now that sounds really quite melodramatic, but it isn't. this government of this country has never been under so much pressure in its life, and they are really seriously concerned of a mass uprising in London, so much so that they are not giving the figures. The figures I've heard from three sources are anywhere between 200 and 500 people dead from that fire. Now, bear in mind, at the moment, they are not admitting to anything over 90. So it would be catastrophic from a political point of view, from their view, to say to the world, well, nearly 500 people lost their lives. When you think that the council that runs that tower block is probably the richest council in Great Britain, the amount of money they have as a corporate reserve is staggering. Yet they didn't fit sprinklers. They went from a zinc cladding and downgraded it from a zinc to an aluminium cladding. They had too much of, as far as I'm concerned, too much of a gap between the wall of the building and the beginning of the fascia, all to save money. So no wonder the leader of the council has resigned, the chief executive officer has resigned, the chairman of the Housing Services Committee has resigned, the chair of the Grenfell Tower group, whichever it is, the management committee has resigned. The problem is that, do they actually think that resigning gets them off the hook? Does it absolve them? It's great, isn't it? You can do something morally wrong, legally wrong, whatever it might be, and then, oh, I'll resign, and that'll be all right, and it'll go away. That should not be allowed. And remember that the day after this tragedy, it is a tragedy, whoever's responsible, I went straight onto my website and wrote that corporate manslaughter needs to be pushed through. This is before any of the establishment newspapers were going down that road, because frankly, the establishment were too terrified to turn against their own elite. But when large numbers of their audience, you know, the people in London, the people in Britain, began to show the way they were feeling, then the media was emboldened to take the stance, because they thought, well, if we try and defend the elite, we're going to lose the connection with the audience. And this is why people operating as a group can achieve so much. So that's Grenfell. And once again, obviously, we're absolutely terribly, terribly upset at what's happened. I want to talk about the Pope. Very interesting statement. I put it on my website. If you haven't seen it, please go on to simonparks.org. The Pope has made an official announcement calling for one world government. I'll just repeat that because it sounds horrendous. It's true. The Pope has made an official statement calling for a one world government. And he's saying basically that global warming is going to kill us all, and we need a one world government to take control of the world because humans don't know what they're doing. Now that sounds so mad, but it's actually genuinely the truth. What's going on here is the Pope is so terrified that the human race is evolving beyond his or his elite's control. He's sending a hurry up message. It's a call out to all of the elite. Hurry up, get the one world government in place, because if you don't, we are in serious trouble. So please go on to simonparks.org and see that link, the Pope calling for a one world government. And one of the reasons he's calling for it is his number three cardinal. They don't have ministers, but they have cardinals in position, and it's finance minister, but it's a finance cardinal, has been arrested. So his number third in command has been arrested and charged by the Australian police for sex offences. It's very hard to get any genuine information, and I do not know if this is child sex offences or not, but we know that he's been arrested for sex offences. This guy, this cardinal, is so convinced that the Vatican can get him off the hook that he's voluntarily flying to Australia to attend the court. Now, people who are not in the know would say, well, of course you've got to go to court. Well, no, you haven't, because no country that I know of has an extradition treaty with Vatican City. Remember that the Vatican City is an entirely separate nation. Doesn't have anything to do with Italy. And no country that I know of has an extradition treaty with the Vatican. So this cardinal could quite happily have said, I don't care what you say, I'm staying in the Vatican City, the Holy See, as it's called. However, I think he feels that there are so many elite in Australia that he can probably get off the charges. So he's indicated that he's willingly, voluntarily flying to Australia to take part in the court case. Now, from what I've heard, the Pope is absolutely horrified at this because he doesn't want the Catholic Church dragged through the court, but that's what's going to happen. So it will be public. I hope the public will be allowed in and they can see that through. So that's that. Keep an eye on that one. Of great concern to us is a private consortium that has raised $1.5 billion to launch satellites around the Earth to link up with what's called 5G. Now that may sound really exciting, except it's the beginning of a system to try to put artificial intelligence around the Earth. those of you who remember Terminator and the films about Skynet. So there's a contract been written with the Russian providers of the Soyuz rockets. They're the cheapest going, to launch literally dozens of these satellites over the next 5 years to completely ring the Earth in them. And they're doing a link with schools. They want to connect all the schools up. Of course they do, because they're children. They want to try and get to the kids. This is a system that's going to be a global net over the Earth, and I believe, from what I've been told, that this is how artificial intelligence will attempt to take control of all the electronic works on the Earth, just as it was foretold in the Terminator films. And that's something that we've really got to look at and maybe take some action on that one. Quickly now moving on to the finance in the Western world. More and more established organizations are warning of a difficult financial situation in the months ahead. Remember, we've talked about October. There's no getting away from this now. Even the most diehard elite are saying, well, yes, perhaps there could be a bit of a problem in the autumn, in the fall. That's interesting that even 3 months ago, these organizations who were, you know, saying nonsense, it's nothing, we're absolutely fine, are now changing their tune. So we need to keep an eye on that one. I want to move on now to Great Britain and the Queen of Great Britain. Very interesting situation there. I've been told that the major British newscasters are now getting ready for the death of the Queen, and they are preparing all of the films, the footage, all of the stuff that goes with it. I've been told that there are going to be 3 days of mourning when the Queen dies, which people will like, because I presume that means 3 days off work. It would be very awful if you had to. Yeah, you'd be very awful if you had to go to work and mourn the Queen. You know,
I just couldn't do it. I really couldn't go to work with the Queen was in mourning, you know. I'd be so upset.
No, and I think the people in the BBC, I've been told unofficially, are all going to have to wear black. So that's interesting. But what's even more interesting, and why I'm bringing it to everyone's attention, is that while the senior newscasters have been told they can prepare all the archive footage and talk about, you know, what the Queen did, they can't actually say who's going to be king because it's not been decided. Now, whether it'll be William or Charles, they would normally run straight to the king in waiting and they would do the history of him and how he got to this point. Well, they've been told you can't do it because we don't actually know who's going to be king. And that's unprecedented in our history. The major reason for this, of course, is that the father of Prince Charles is not the father that the establishment would have us know. Now, whether the Queen's husband, Philip, will die first, that's probably on the cards. We're talking within months, actually. We're talking months of both of these people dying, but it's presumed that Philip will die first. Now, when he dies, one of the biggest impediments to Charles becoming king is going to be removed. So if, as we predict, Philip will die very soon now, there's a greater chance that Charles will be king, and Charles wants to be king. Never mind what anybody's saying, he wants to be king. So another exciting thing to watch. Why does it matter? It matters because And these people are hugely influential, not just in this country, Great Britain, but right across the world. Okay, moving on. I did in the conference talk about...
Oh, can I just jump in there, Simon? It was announced a few weeks ago, a couple of months back, that Prince Philip was retiring. And the other day, a very small news article said that he was taken into hospital. I believe he's already shuffled off this mortal coil, personally.
Right. I haven't received that information, but to be fair, I haven't asked for it. Generally, what happens is I ask for information, I'm given it. That doesn't matter whether it's on the planet or off. Occasionally, I get told something that, you know, you need to know this. That information is generally when it's important to people because they need to react or they need to protect themselves. In case of anything like that, it's not that important in the immediate term. But I'll ask about that. That I don't know. But I do know, and this may not be coincidental, that a week ago, then I had this conversation with somebody talking about the planning for the death of the Queen and obviously her husband, and how the problem for them was they didn't know who the King was going to be. So that was the interesting one. I want to quickly move on. There's another push by the very evil elite to reactivate Agenda 21. For new listeners, Agenda 21 was sold, particularly through schools, as a wonderful way to preserve the planet, its diversity, global warming, etc., etc., etc. But really, Agenda 21 was about killing three quarters of the human race so that the elite could, have the planet themselves. And I've been going out doing some fossil collecting, as I said, and it's interesting that when I first started collecting fossils in 1971, as an individual person, I could go anywhere. I could go to any quarry. I could do anything I wanted, providing that I was respectful. I asked the land owner. 9 times out of 10, they would say yes. Etc. Now, it's incredibly difficult. You can only get access to certain places to collect fossils if you are part of the elite. In other words, if you are a doctor or a professor or a fellow, as they call them, studying at a university, you have access to these places. If you're an ordinary human citizen, you can't have it. And what we're seeing, I think, is this value system that's coming in, which is if you're an ordinary person, you are not going to share the beauty of this planet. But if you are part of the elite group, you can share the planet. And Agenda 21 is rather like that. It's the elite want the planet. They love trees just as much as you and I do. But they don't like other people. So they'd rather wipe out three quarters of the population so that they then could go out and look at the trees without having to see any ordinary common people. Why wipe out three quarters? Why not wipe out everybody? Because they need slaves. So they'll need to keep a quarter of the population to do all the menial tasks for them, take the trash out, etc., etc. So what we're seeing in Great Britain, and I don't know about the States, I haven't asked, but what we're seeing in Great Britain is this drive to exclude ordinary people from enjoying the natural beauty of the planet. And I would suggest that we need to resist this vigorously. Moving on. My conference, I talked about the number of people reported who have been put in prison. And indeed, I've just talked about the Pope's number third cardinal who's been arrested. But that doesn't mean he's going to be convicted. We'll wait and see. But I'm rather concerned at the number of reports on the internet that all the reptilians have left the planet. All of the bad guys have been arrested. You know, if that was the case, we wouldn't still be living the way we are. The reason we're still living the way we are is because many of the reptilians are still on the planet. That most of the bad guys are still in a position. And whilst some commentators are genuine and honest and they really believe this, this is being put out at a top level so that the idea is, it's okay, all the reptilians have gone, all the bad guys are in prison, you don't need to fight anymore, you don't need to worry, you just get back on your little life, do what you normally do, because you've won, you've won. And that's nonsense. It's them trying to stop us, you know, resisting and keeping an eye open. So please don't fall for that. You'll know when the victory is won, because the whole world will be remarkably different. Okay. Let's just see. I wanted to talk about Putin and Trump. Putin and Trump are trying to work more closely together. They both feel rather threatened. Putin's feeling rather threatened because NATO and the United Nations, which are obviously part of the old guard, nothing to do with President Trump at all, the UN and, you know, and NATO are attempting to put a squeeze on Russia. So Putin and Trump are trying to work together. Three politicians in the Western world who cannot be manipulated. Well, I'm not just the Western world, but Russia. So we've talked about Putin can't be manipulated, Trump can't be manipulated, and in Great Britain, the leader of Her Majesty's opposition, he can't be manipulated. So we've got three politicians who are not puppets. Now that's really, really difficult for the elite, because when you have top politicians who can't be manipulated, what you try to do is really attack them with your arms, which is the newspaper, the radio, the television. And Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party in opposition, fought a fantastic election campaign. He didn't win, but he scored 40% of the popular vote. That's astonishing, to score 40% of the popular vote. So even with all of the major newspapers attacking Corbyn, all the televisions, all the commentators, all the rich, the elite, the top boys all turning on him, 40% of the electorate supported him. Now that must be a great warning to the elite that they've lost 40%. 40% believe the lies being put out. So that's very interesting. And the terror attacks that have been occurring in Great Britain are occurring in Great Britain because they believe that the government of Great Britain can be manipulated. Don't get the terror attacks in America at the moment because President Trump cannot be manipulated. You're not getting big terror attacks in Russia because Putin can't be manipulated. You only terror attack a country if you can bring pressure to bear and a government will cave in. So I'm sure there will be attacks in America and in Russia at some point, but that is why Great Britain's getting it, because the government is a establishment government and can be manipulated. So I had a lot of news to catch up on because I've been off the air a little bit. So please, you may want to re-listen to this on YouTube, obviously, but to get the news again, please do your own research. It's very important. I can only point in the direction, and it's up to everyone to go and see what they think of it. So thank you very much indeed for that.
Good, good. Right. So now, as I said, the station is back up and running again, and people are able to get on, and I'm able to get into the back end and see all the questions. Yeah. So where do you want to start? Right. Number two. Okay. So I'm just going to, roll it up to the, there's still people trying to call in. I'm going to roll it up to the beginning of today. And here we are, 22:44. Okay, now this first one is from Zeech. Geomancy, Hartman, Curry lines, ley lines and so on. Are any available devices on Earth that work and transform an energy on it, to create electric power from these ley line grids? And can we make it by home? Is there something we can make at home that would be able to do that? So any advice on how to make stuff is probably more of a Wynne Keat question, but, generating power from ley lines.
Right. Ley lines don't generate power in the traditional sense of the word. Ley lines encode energy, information. So they need power, through the earth to transmit, but it would be wrong to try to use that power. That's why the evil site banks and other establishment buildings on these ley lines, because they wish to absorb that energy for evil purposes. So if you were going to build a bank and you were evil, as most banks are, You would build it on a positive ley line because you want to take that energy and make lots of money. So I wouldn't want to start using the energy of a ley line because that is how the earth communicates with itself above ground. It also communicates very importantly below ground. There's more water running in streams and rivers under the earth than there are on the surface of the earth. And that is because this is encoded information and the earth is sending encoded information by water from one part to another. And in the same way with the ley lines, but it works slightly differently with that. It's sending information through and wouldn't want to, deflect it or weaken that. It is a Wyn Keats question in phase two in the sense that there are a number of devices which the elite have and they won't share. There are some devices that Wyn Keats and I are working on, which we will share. Talking about FairX, people are saying, well, what's happening with it? We're not gone cold on the subject. What happened was we had a very, very interesting talk to a good guy who is quite well to do, connected, and he said, you need to understand that if you bring out an item, whatever it might be, and it threatens the establishment in some way, they have paid people, up to 500 people, who will, if you're going crowdsourcing, you'll put $10 in or £20 in, and then they'll write a really bad review and call you a crook or a robber or a thief. And if you get 500 people who then immediately write in and call you a crook or a robber, the crowdsourcing organization stops the project, gives all the money back to people, and it won't do it. And apparently this is something that these elite corporations do. If somebody has a product that is going to threaten what they're already selling, they will get in and they will hack this crowdsourcing and they will do that. So we had to pull up. We couldn't do a crowdsourcing because we knew that's what they do to us. So we've been in conversations with some other people and it's looking very hopeful. It's going to take longer, but it's looking very hopeful. We want to do this. And one of the projects we have is exactly what this person's talking, except we're not going to use power from ley lines. We're going to use the natural power of the earth, which is sustainable. It replenishes. It doesn't affect it. So, we're hopeful, but no, please don't start tapping into ley lines. Thank you.
Yeah, good question. So coming up, all right, Nuck Choris. It's like a joke on Nuck. Yeah. Anyway, dear Simon, sometimes I wake up covered in scratch marks. The marks were not there when I went to bed, and I do not have the fingernails or sharp objects near my bed to make these marks myself. They look like claw marks from a cat, only I don't have a cat. They typically come in rows of two or three. Can you please explain to me why I might be getting these marks? All right, there's a picture that I can probably get to you.
That'd be very helpful. Can you attach that to Skype while I'm talking?
Yeah, I'll drop that in the chat room, yeah.
Good, because what I was going to be, my question was, I need to know the length of the scratches and the distance between them, etc., etc. There's a photograph.
It's coming here. There we go. Enter here. You should see the Imgur.
Ah, excellent. Well, let me just enlarge that now. Hold on.
It's coming. So what we're looking at is a gentleman's chest, side, belly and underarm.
Yeah,
it's quite broad. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the shoulder. That shoulder looks a bit nasty, isn't it?
That's very interesting. Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent. Oh, good pictures. Well done, well done. Just give me a minute, audience.
Simon is looking.
4, 1, 2, 3. Excellent. Right. Okay. Let me just. I don't want to lose you. I just want to turn this picture off here. There we are. Right, that's very helpful. I'll just describe to the audience what we're seeing. We're seeing unnatural scratch marks. They're not caused by a cat. The lines are too flowing and too sickle-shaped. Right, what this is, it's a psyops. Somebody is artificially creating the scratches to make it look like an animal. It does occur. I've only seen it once or twice before in the previous 7 years. It is literally a psychological operation on that individual. So, you know, please, if you haven't already done so, please drop me a line to the email address simon.parks3@btopenworld.com. I would love to chat with you, and I can reassure you, and we can look at ways of putting a stop to it. So you're not looking at an alien animal. You are not looking at going into some magical world where, you know, how wouldn't it be lovely, where lots of cats are running around. This is a person with a device, just a very basic primitive thing, creating scratches on your body. It may not necessarily be doing it on your physical body. It could be on your etheric body. But when I get a chat with you, I'll talk to you. What you need to know is why are they doing it and who's doing it. So that's something we can work on. So thank you for being brave, posting the question. Thank you for being brave and posting the pictures. That really does help me. It gives me the information I need. So thanks.
Okay, so still on the subject of pets, this is from Sammy. Pets dying in place of their owners. Is it possible for animals to somehow die in place of their owners? When my grandmother almost died, the day before she had to be rushed to the ER, her dog started getting very sick very fast. Within the 3 days, the dog died and my grandmother made a miraculous recovery. I've heard of other situations like this and just wondered if there was a connection. Thank you for all the energy you put forth to help humanity. Love, Samantha.
Two things. First of all, let's look at it the other way. If a person is incredibly connected to their animal, that the real answer is the animal is really connected to the person. Because how many times have people said, you know, they really love a particular cat or a dog or a goldfish or whatever it might be. But if that isn't reciprocated in the same way by the animal, then it's all about you and not about the animal. When that animal has the connection, it's chosen you. What can happen is if the animal believes that your soul is going to leave your body, it will die to join you. And it doesn't necessarily wait for you to go first. Because once the whatever it is starts working, that's what happens. But sometimes, more often than not actually, a human has a near-death experience. It's prepared to die and leave the body, but it doesn't. Whatever occurs, it comes back. So often an animal will think that its owner is going to die, pass on, it dies, and of course you don't, you stay there. That happens more than you'd think. The second one is yes, and we could go into the talk about what the religion of the Buddhists, but it is often the case that a very highly evolved soul that is not necessarily in a human body will offer itself as a sacrifice. It's not offering the soul as a sacrifice because the soul never dies, but it can say, I am offering my physical body in place of the other physical body. Now, you could argue, well, how could, say, the body of a dog equal the body of a human? Well, actually it does, because the body is just a body. It doesn't matter whether it's the body of an ant or the body of a person. It is just a container. Yes, the body of the human is very important. It has a brain and, you know, has a system which is more advanced than anything else on the planet that we're aware of. But ultimately, it is the soul that matters here, because the soul will come back. The church got that bit right. And have another body if it can. So there are a very few cases that I'm aware of where another living creature can do that. Now, this is the odd thing, because that's called a sacrifice. It's not the sacrifice that we imagine. We imagine, you know, the Incas or a satanic ritual, but sacrifice means giving up for somebody else. Do you love somebody so much that you will sacrifice for that? And that's what's going on. So it's a really good question. So the answer is yes, but there are more answers to it. So thank you.
Cool. Right. Okay. Let's see. Right. Reptilians from Arawa. That's from Mark. Thank you for your wonderful show, Simon. I have always had issues with people in my life. Recently, I realized that this is due to a reptilian component of my soul. This is an old soul that has had enough of its role and decided to go back to source. I realized that this could be happening to others, as I am noticing a lot of people behaving strangely lately. Have you come across any issues like this? Many thanks, Mark.
I'll tell you what, loads of people are behaving strangely. I don't know in the other countries, I suppose it must be, but if you were in Great Britain and you go in a motor car, you've got to be doubly careful at the moment. What's happening is that the energies hitting the planet and the planet itself is evolving now at such a rate that a number of people are slightly lagging behind. And when they have to make quick decisions, and for most people, the quickest decisions they have to make in their life is behind the wheel of a motor car. And it's showing because they are making mistakes. They are, an English word, they're dithering. They are, I don't know what to do. What should I do? Shall I turn left? Shall I turn right? Oh, what shall I do? And we're seeing that a great deal. The more a human is put under stress at the moment, the more likely they are to have this reaction. This is predominantly so with people who are unawake and aware. Those of us who are very spiritual, stroke psychic, and aware are dealing with this better than those who are blindly going along as they've always done. And they really don't understand what's happening. So much of what's being felt on the planet is the fact that the planet is shooting forward now and evolving, and the souls in our body are shooting along there side by side with it, but our physical bodies are lagging behind. And I tried to explain this once, that the soul shoots ahead and the body is attached by a cord, but it's behind. And then, you know, we see that there's no more waves of energy coming in for a bit, and that's deliberate because it allows the physical bodies of the creatures to catch up with the soul. So it catches up and, oh, that's better. We feel much better. We feel more enlivened. Then another energy burst comes in. The soul shoots ahead. And then we're playing catch up. The physical body's catching up with that soul and so on. That's why we don't get all these waves one after the other and a great big wave, because the physical bodies couldn't cope. It has to be going up a ladder, step at a time, boom, connect, boom, connect. And for people who do not understand any of this, then it's quite frightening, quite scary. And so that's causing a lot of it. There are other reasons why people can do this. If you have more than one part to your soul, it is unlikely that part will leave the planet. If you have a reptilian connection or component to your soul, I would suggest to you that that cannot leave and leave the rest of it. You are what you are. You are that soul. To remove that reptilian part would be to damage and fracture the soul, and you would not be the person you are. You know, we go through life, and when I talk to people, then the person that I'm talking to is the sum connection of everything they've ever done since they came here, all they learnt or didn't learn, all the good, all the evil, all part of a process to put that person on a learning journey. So if at the end of that you said, hurrah, I'm what I am, and I'm going to chuck this reptilian bit out, or the reptilian bit says I'm off now, we will not be the same person, because the reptilian bit had to learn, and we are what we are. So what would happen is that when our physical body dies, stops working, the soul then goes back to source. That is the moment in front of the great creator that we can either say we would like this to happen or that to happen, or we want to stay because we're a family. You know, we have been through so much. This is who I am. So there are a lot of possibilities. So, you know, just be aware that there are many possibilities for what we're feeling at the moment. It's a very good question. Thank you.
Okay. So now, right. So this goes up into, human history. Hi, this is from Starstuff 145. Hi, Simon and JP. Simon, I'm interested in what happened before the last incarnation of human genetic manipulation / evolution. Given archaeologists are finding red-haired European-looking mummies in China and carvings of dinosaurs and humans coexisting, you have previously stated that the Earth has been to a level of high technology many times and has been destroyed. Stone structures that have been clearly constructed with a higher level of technology are being more frequently discovered. Who were these people? Did they go underground or were they totally destroyed? Were these people also controlled by the fake religions we have today? Do you have any answers to these questions?
I hope so, otherwise I shouldn't be doing a radio show. First of all, the last manipulation to humanity was 26,500 years ago. That's the last genetic manipulation on a wide scale. The reason there hasn't been anything since then, simply because we are now at that level that we should be able to make decisions for ourselves. And also, we had got to a point that mass deception couldn't be done on an overt scale. All deception against the human race had to move underground, had to be covert. So the stuff that's going on now is hidden. You know, by and large, it's covert and it's hidden because we've reached a consciousness that allows us to detect that. But if you went back 26,500 and further back, we were very, very separate and isolated, and we weren't necessarily up for it in terms of understanding what's going on. Yes, that's right. I have said that the Earth has many times reached high technological positions, but not necessarily spiritual positions. Just because you have a huge technological society does not mean you have a spiritual base. In fact, often it means the opposite. They often talk about North American native tribes being technologically poor but spiritually rich. So where we see a what we would call a backward, well, I don't call it, but that's what the system calls it, where you'd see a backward people, they are hugely spiritual and amazingly psychic. You know, if you are a small Papua New Guinea tribe, and you've only seen one white man in the last 30 years, and the only motor cars that come through are tourists who want to come and take photographs of you because, you know, somebody charges thousands of dollars to do that. And you don't have a cell phone, you don't have a mobile phone, and people say, look at those people, aren't they primitive? Well, they don't need a cell phone because they're probably telepathic, and they will probably send message, you know, 3 miles down the road saying there comes another bunch of people with their cameras and their cell phones. So just because something's not technologically advanced doesn't mean it's not advanced. You're talking about the red-haired group. This is not a direct alien group. This is a human group. It's a group that can connect to Atlantis, to a lesser extent Lemuria. Not everyone in Atlantis had blonde hair. There are a number from Lemuria and Atlantis that have the red color. It's the color of particularly the Celtic group. And these were a group of people who were more like nomadic. You couldn't say they lived in a city or a city-state. They were people who were hired as mercenaries. And I don't mean mercenaries to fight. I mean people who were gifted. And so we often find graves or isolated groups in small villages of these people, where they are linked to the Agartha, linked to the Hollow Earth, most definitely, and some of the groups, the Catalina tribes in Portugal and Spain, can actually connect directly and also through to Egypt. So there's really good questions. Thank you very much.
Great. Okay, ooh. Right, not that one. Somebody keeps putting lots of questions in. I'm not going to answer them all. Ask them all, because I've asked a couple from him already. Okay. Okay, so this is from Sonia. On the radio show from May 2nd, a person suggested to do a group meditation on every show. On the very next radio show, the server was down. I wonder if this was because they were afraid of the group meditation. Please let us do the short meditation on every show. I feel this could really make a change. Thank you so much for your strength and light. I wish you best for your health and lots of love.
Right, we'll do it. What we'll do at the end of a radio show, because if we are going to be taken down, then it would be no good if we get taken down at the beginning or the middle of the radio show, because we're going to lose out. So we'll do a group meditation at the last 2 to 3 minutes. That's all we need, actually, of the radio show. So if we do get taken down, then people have had the chance to listen to the radio show. What we'll do is I need to organize with Connecting Consciousness. What I would need to do is to, rather than impose, this is what we're going to do, because when I created Connecting Consciousness, I did not create a hierarchy. I would ask the membership what they wanted or what they felt was a vital meditation, you know, not just for my country or my town, but for the planet. Sometimes some countries are more hard-pressed, and I will authorize activity in a particular country, because that's, you know, very important. And recently we did a larger meditation against child sacrifice, because certain times of the moon, certain times of the planet's movements mean that more children are attacked at certain times of the year. So I will always give that top priority. But what we'll do, I will work with Connecting Consciousness in the next 2 weeks to form up a meditation, and then at the beginning of the radio show in 2 weeks' time, I'll announce what it will be, and then a couple of minutes, 3 or 4 minutes before the end, we'll do it. I accept that. It's a really good idea. That is how Connecting Consciousness should work. It's how I should work, which means if somebody comes to me with a good idea, A, I shouldn't be scared of that, and B, I shouldn't react by saying, don't you tell me what to do. I should be able to react by saying, is it good for humanity? Is it something that we can do? And if the answer is yes, we do it. And, you know, that's brilliant. So, yeah, we're going to do it. Thank you.
Fabulous. So, we're coming up to the top of the hour. And I was...
One more in before
one
we
more in. Okay. All right. So that. Oh, right. Another one. Okay. So 4 minutes after that first question about the group meditation, another one came in saying the same thing. All right. Beings that some babies, toddlers, and children can see. Dear Simon and JP, thank you so much for your wonderful life-changing work that you do. It is said that some babies, toddlers, and young children can interact with beings which most adults cannot perceive. What is occurring during these interactions? P.S. Are you still going to bring out a book? Love and light. Destiny calls.
Right, Destiny. Thank you very much, indeed. Yes, I am going to bring out a book. I really, truly, truly am. The difficulty is that there are other things that I need to do which are more beneficial to the human race. I want to bring a book out, but I have to ask myself, do I bring a book out because I want to feel good? I want to feel great. I want to go around and say, look, I've brought a book out. I'm one of those who's published. Do I want to bring a book out because I want to share that information with people and I want to empower people? Or do I say, look, of course I want to help people, but there are other things I'm doing. So, yeah, I promise I really want to bring the book out, but when we've won the war, when the war's been won, I'll bring the book out. Right. Children. Most children can see... spirits, in the true sense of the word. Most can see interdimensional entities like jinn. Most children can see something from the fourth dimension or higher. Also, so can animals. And the point is that when you are not worried about your rent or your mortgage or the car not working or the next door neighbor shouting and screaming or the latest tax demand, when you don't have those worries, you are able to see more clearly. You're not, all your thinking process is not taken up. And that's why children and animals can see what many adults don't see. What is going on? Well, that's the million-dollar question, because depending on which entity has come to see that child, where they've come from, what their agenda is, that will dictate the way it goes. So there could be hundreds of possibilities. What I will say is that good entities generally don't show themselves to children, generally, not exclusively, because they don't wish to traumatize or frighten that child. Negative entities or entities that just don't understand the human condition will show themselves to children, either because they don't care what that child thinks and they don't care about violating free will, or they just have no conception of it. So the vast majority of interaction with children is by negative entities who wish to influence that child for bad purposes. But there are, I would say, a quarter of all interaction with children is positive, or at least it's independent, where the entity has decided, or the group it represents, or the group that's behind it and has tasked it with this mission, has felt that they had to intercede at that point, because if they didn't, then the negative forces would get in. It's rather like the films where you go back in a time machine to Tuesday, and then the bad guy goes back to Monday, so then the good guys go back to Sunday. And they're always trying to get to be the first one to do whatever. And there is some truth in that. So children are often interacted with by both good and evil forces because they want to get in first to set that timeline for that child, because that child is going to have a big impact when he or she grows up. So I hope that answered your question. And if we've got 3 minutes now, we have a quick cup of tea, JP.
Sounds like a good idea. So let's see what's blowing in the wind. And we're back. Hour two. Everything's working again now. Now everybody's settled down. Please, if you're coming into the show, please don't come exactly at 7 o'clock or 11, or come a little bit before the show, because it's like hundreds of people trying to rush in through a tiny gate and it falls over. So until we found a way of working around that incredible rush. Simon, are you still with us? Actually, yes. Not there. Right, okay. Let's call back. don't know what happened there. There you are.
What happened?
I don't know. Suddenly you weren't there anymore, and I was like talking. Are you there? Dust no, in the wind. This is the sound of wind. Anyway, welcome back to the show.
JP, what happened was that we're still on connection here and you disappeared.
Oh, how bizarre.
Yeah.
How bizarre. Anyway, well, we're all here now.
Good.
That's good. So, I had two songs about the wind, dust in the wind and blowing in the wind.
Okay, very good.
So, Black Goo from Karen. Can you please say something about black goo? Can black goo really help in the spiritual development and support the connection with Mother Earth, as some suppliers of homeopathic black goo described, or is it something that keeps us in lower frequency? Thank you so much, and a lot of light from Germany, Karen.
Right, there is a native black goo, which is a positive black goo, but the establishment wouldn't really make that available. It may be that some individuals through very special contacts have got access to that. I really don't know. So that would be beneficial, but I'm not quite sure how you would use it. The other black goo is incredibly dangerous, it's sentient, it's negative, and that certainly wouldn't be of any beneficial help at all. One is slightly more viscous than the other. The off-planet negative black goo is somewhat more viscous and thicker than the native one. Where bites is really, unless you're able to genuinely know the difference, I really wouldn't get involved in that. So no, I wouldn't get involved. Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. The film Prometheus.
Yeah.
Has this black goo at the beginning where the guy drinks it and then he dissolves into bits. Is that an allegory thing, do you think, or is that just a thing?
He's sacrificing himself, isn't he? That's all about, at the beginning of the film, if I remember it now, that's all about a sacrifice. What number of directors are doing is trying to give truthful information out, mixing it in with fantasy. And the very fact that that was a film that put the black goo to the public's attention like that may not mean anything in terms of the character drinking it, but it was a way of introducing that substance into the consciousness of people. Those who were aware would understand what it was, and those that weren't would start perhaps thinking, what's this black substance? But like many, many of these things, there are those who wish to experiment and try to take this stuff and see what it does to them. In terms of altering your perception or altering your state or your mind, it certainly would do that. But it would probably, if it's the negative black goo, it would probably take you over completely. So again, you know, I wouldn't recommend it. I think that what we're being shown by Prometheus or the Alien group of films is a warning, but also heads up, this is what's around the corner. So that's how I look on it.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, this is an interesting question. Hello. Turn my mic up a bit. Question topic, black hooded beings. This is from Moose. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for all you're doing for humanity. Every Sunday, we, a group of them, have been doing the weekly ascension meditation. A week ago, a friend participated with us in the weekly ascension meditation. After the meditation, she said that she saw a large gathering of beings wearing black hooded robes. Also, she felt as if she was being observed and watched. Her experience was completely different from mine, and now I don't want to participate in this meditation. It feels negative. What are your thoughts?
Right. Okay, well, just because a being wears a black robe and a hood, like a monk, it doesn't immediately mean that they're negative, nor does it mean that the process that they're taking part in is negative. The word occult is to be hidden. So when a being or a person is involved in some form of ritual or ceremony and they put the hood on and the black gown on, we on this planet tend to think of it as satanic or evil, or if we are very religious, we think of it as a monk. So the eye of the beholder is interpreting what he or she sees dependent on their own experiences on life. What you've got to look at is what is actually intoned, what is actually said during the ceremony, what is done during the ceremony. If it's anti-human, then you should immediately remove yourself from it. But if it's a positive ceremony and it's designed to help, then you should be part of it if you wish. So you can't judge because of the way they look. You have to judge because of what they say and whether they carry forward those actions. For instance, I've got one third reptilian in me. So if you were racist and you hated reptilians because you hated reptilians, then you would hate me. But if you said, hang on a minute, what Simon is saying is positive, it's positive for humanity, clearly believes in the evolving of humanity, therefore he's good. So we shouldn't judge on looks or, you know, history. We should judge on what's happening at that time. If you got a feeling that something was bad or evil happening, then you must trust yourself. So always trust yourself. If an organization or group of people are undertaking some form of ritual, they should explain to you what it's about, and they should be transparent about that and open. You know, I do my work through, you know, connecting consciousness, and we group meditate, and everything that we do is designed to help people. We don't put hoods on, and we don't put black capes on. We just are what we are, because I personally don't feel that you need to dress up in fancy dress. Well, that's going to upset a lot of people in the Masonic world now. I don't think you need to dress up. If you've got good intentions, then you've got good intentions. But there are people who are very, very ritualistically bound, magically bound, and they do believe that they need to put the right clothes on, because that's what their grandparents did and their great-grandparents, etc., etc. So I'm not going to knock that, but that's the best answer I can give you. Thank you.
Okay. Now, the questions are getting grosser. Okay. Hi, Simon and JB. The show is great. My question is that my mum used to get a visitation at night where someone would come to her and stick his finger in her side. She doesn't get it anymore, but I do now. The creature is short, bald head with long fingers and sharp fingernails. He sticks the finger into my side, approximately around the area of the adrenals, kidney. It started with me around the same age it happened to mum. I have read about sleep paralysis, but this experience is a bit different. Can you help?
JP, does the person give the height of this being?
Said short.
Right. That is not a being. If it's 3 feet, about 3 feet tall, then you're looking at a djinn. That's exactly what it is. If it's got a bald head, that's fairly classic. The sticking of the finger is an allegory, really. It's attempting to get access to your body. Where you're being poked, as we would say, is quite unusual. It's normally the shoulders, your hips, or your thighs. So it's unusual that you've been got there. That is the entity attempting to enter your body. It's attempting to gain access to your body. And if you go onto my website and telling you how to deal with these creatures, you'll find a fairly useful method in there. So I do not believe that's a fourth dimensional entity. I believe it's an interdimensional entity. Classically, we call it the finger poking. It's like you feel somebody's trying to prod you. And in this case, you've actually got a vision. And this thing has shown itself to you not in its classic natural stance. It's projected an image, like the 1001 Nights, the Arabian Nights, the bald-headed sorcerer, etc., etc. So that's what you've got there. Fairly easy to get rid of. It's obviously running in the family. It's running through the lineages. If your mother had it, we tend to see that runs through family lines. Time to get rid of it.
Indeed. So, all right. Okay. I've actually got a personal question. One from me, but I'll ask that after this. This is from Tim Good. Dear Simon, I have just one question to ask, a personal one, another one. However, I will prelude it by offering some background on myself. I don't experience visions, visitations, lucid dreams, abductions, or close encounters of the sixth kind. I have never seen any of the beings that many of your listeners describe. I have no idea what bleeping constellation I or my DNA derive from. Nonetheless, I have encountered many people who profess to have had UFO sightings, angelic interventions that have saved lives. One has been on board a mothership, and another one believes she may have been a Montauk child. So, I guess I don't qualify as a so-called, quote, light worker. I take an interest in your show, Max Steele's, the Andronicus material, and other stuff on Wolf Spirit Radio, but I don't see or experience a sausage. Maybe you should go to Lincolnshire, they're better sausages. No, sorry. Maybe the one talent I can offer is parceling together bits and pieces of info from different sources in order to present a picture of sorts. I work in a library, go figure. I have no idea what my role is during this crucial transition period. All I know is I live from day to day, working, eating, getting my sustenance from programs like yours. I wish ascension could happen yesterday. Frustrated. What impression do you get from an ungrateful question such as this one? Hope you can throw a few pencils of light my way. Tim from Oz. Right.
Tim, first of all, I have yet to have it clearly defined what a light worker is. This seems to be a very common term that people take to themselves. I think what they're saying is that I am a good person and I work for good purposes. And, you know, we seem to have taken this word about light worker. Well, you know, what is a light worker? You know, somebody who saves lives, but isn't spiritually aware, but, you know, in a hospital, maybe 4 or 5 times a year, saves the life of somebody. If that nurse wasn't there, that person would die. Well, couldn't we call them a light worker? Do we have to be spiritually aware and spiritually awake to be a light worker? Does that qualify us? I don't think so. I think that anyone who does good work, regardless, service to others is a light worker. So just because something hasn't happened, there are many people who say to me, oh, I wish some of the things that happened to you would happen to me. And I say to them, no, you don't. And they say, oh, yes, I do. And I say, no, you don't, because that wouldn't be you. You know, you're telling me that you're not happy with who you are. That shows me that you're fundamentally out of balance. You know, you incarnated on this planet as the person you are. Why would you wish to be somebody else? You haven't looked into yourself. You haven't developed yourself. And if you truly did, then you'd be really happy with who you are. So nobody in the right mind would want to be a Montauk child. Nobody in their right mind would want to go through an MK Ultra torture program. Many people wouldn't want to be on a spaceship a zillion trillion miles away from Earth, looking out of a small porthole at a whole group of planets and stars and thinking, when in God's name am I going to go home? Am I ever going to go home? So we shouldn't look on other people's experiences as something we aspire to. We should look at ourselves and say, what are my goals? What do I wish to achieve? How can I help other people? And that is the way to come at it. Everyone on this planet is very special. And those people that do good work are extra special. And I'm sure you, Tim, are extra special. Thank you for your question.
Okay. Now, hang on. Just another quick slurp. I had an experience yesterday, Simon. This is me.
Okay.
And I was going through a kind of just doing a sort of emotional detox, and something came up, and I saw like a church window, first of all. You know, like one of those little narrow, this is about like 6 inches wide, little stained glass window. And it was a terrible feeling that I had. And I buried down into it, and the thought came to me, they've buried me alive in the building. And obviously I wasn't too happy about that, and it may be the residual thoughts, but was it something, is it likely that I could have been buried, or, you know, obviously a past incarnation, not this one, a past incarnation could be buried, and what happens to one's soul if that happens to you? I mean, can I go and get that fragment, and will the building fall down if that happens?
Well, interesting point.
Because it's a Masonic thing, isn't it? Like burying babies in the buildings.
Yes, but one of the things you'd have to, or anyone would have to be very, very clear on, was whether that is you or whether you have inadvertently connected with another soul that was indeed buried in that building, and you have picked up their own signature, their own frequency, their own mind thoughts. So you have to be very careful that it's not you in a past life, but it's another person that's been buried there. So that can happen. It can be such a strong pulse of energy that we assume it must be us, but actually we're picking up on somebody else's life force. Now, if it is you, then that is the case, then you are absolutely entitled to go back and reclaim what is yours. In terms of the edifice of the building, that's secondary and doesn't matter. You have full right to regain whatever is yours. But you need to be clear that that really is, you know, happened to you and not someone else. And in many cases, we are, especially when we're empathetic, we can pick up on other people, that we're not sympathizing with someone else. You know, there are many times when we can walk down a road or a high street or a sidewalk, and we can feel a presence in the window, but we might be connecting with something that happened 100 years ago or 200 years ago. So I hope that helps, JP.
Okay. Right. So here's another very interesting question. This is from Coltsby. Anyway, the real names of stars is the topic. Hello, Simon, JP, and the Awakened Community. My question is this. The stars and galaxies have names. For example, Alpha Centauri, Betelgeuse, Canis Majoris, the Milky Way. Are these the names of the celestial bodies as they speak throughout the universe, or are these the names that only us on this planet know them by? For example, we know our planet as Earth. But is this called Earth by beings from Andromeda, or do they know our planet by another universal name or number? Did we make up, I'm putting them a number, did we make up these names, or were we told these were the names of these celestial bodies? JP, you are my Morpheus, and Simon is my Neo. Thank you for unplugging me from the Matrix. So, yeah, star names. Who makes up the star names?
Right. Good question.
Yeah, brilliant question.
Well, the radio show could be the Nebuchadnezzar then, couldn't it? The names that we have are names that we have given. So they are human names for stars, constellations, and planets. Off-planet entities are familiar with the names that we use, and they will use the same names when discussing with humans. So, for instance, if a particular off-planet entity group is meeting with the American military, they would generally use the human name for something because they know that that is understood. But they will have their own names or coding. Now, sometimes the names or coding for these planets is incredibly long, so it might be easier to say Alpha Centauri than perhaps something that takes, you know, two sentences to say. But remember that most of these races will connect telepathically, or when they connect with computers, it's superluminal. So it's the speed of light plus. So it doesn't matter how long or short these names are, everything is delivered almost instantaneous. So they've no need to concern themselves with names, because they will just know the planet that they're referring to. But if they were to talk to a human and give the name or number for that planet, it would mean nothing to us. It wouldn't appear on any star charts. It wouldn't appear on any star maps. But that is the name that the group would have had since it began. And it's like, you know, a million years they would have called such and such a planet something or other. Now, they don't tend to use those names with us. They'll tend to use the human names, because the whole point about it is for us to connect and understand with what they're referring to. But if you are eavesdropping in on a communication or a conversation between two non-human entities or a group, then they will use their own terminology for planets. So when talking to me, they will use the word Earth, because that is the name that it has here. But they will, using English language, they will refer to it as the water world. So if they don't call it the Earth to me, they'll refer to it as the water world. Well, it doesn't have a code number like that, because there are so few water worlds that they are special. So you would call it to the water world in that particular quadrant or that particular segment. And so they can use quite nice names, not just cataloging names. So that's a good question, thank you.
Yeah, it seems the Andromedans are very good at cataloging things. They're always talking about sectors and numbers and coordinates and stuff like that. Yes. So, Ronald. Dear Simon, I have been visited when I was a small child, and I am 42 years old now. What is the feeling of being heavily shaken between the time they come and take you or bring you back? And what is it when a beam of light is shot into your head and it feels like your head is going to explode? Friendly regards. Oh, Susan from Holland.
Thank you, Susan. Vibration, probably better than shaken. I presume you mean you feel a vibrational force. When someone's taken out of their body, first of all, or put back in their body, there is a feeling of a vibration or a shaking movement. You can get that when you're either physically taken, when your body's taken, or when just the signature, your energy soul, is taken. But people have referred to me more that it's when you're put back in your body, and I would agree with that. So when you're put back, that's a greater shock, simply because when you're taken out of your body, you are going into an energy world. So the soul is energetic, and it's coming out of a physical body into the world of energy. So it's a more of a smooth transition. When you're put back, you would think that would be easier because you're going back into your body. But the reality is you're having to readjust from a high frequency energy form back into a mammalian biological body. So that transference is a little bit more traumatic. And many people will wake up or experience being put back in their body as something that was more of a shock than being taken out. And that doesn't matter quite whether it's you physically going through a portal or whether your energy is going through a portal. So that, sadly, in the sense of being taken without permission, is very normal. And the Earth military have the same technology, and you know, we associate that with black helicopters, not exclusively so, but mainly black helicopters, where they can take you out, put you back, and their technology is not always as good, and therefore the returning process can sometimes be ever so slightly out of cue. It can be out of sync, and the returning process can be a little bit more jolty, and that can be a bit of a problem. So I hope that helps.
So a rough entry. All right, this is well complex. I don't get this. This is from Edward Apfel. P versus NP problem. To this day, hello Simon, to this day, mathematicians still cannot, to this day, mathematicians still cannot solve the seemingly unsolvable P versus NP problem. Is this due to our three-dimensional limits of cognition, and do beings of higher dimensions know the solution? I thank you for your contribution to humanity. Your information is truly helping me awake.
Right, the issue, of course, sorry.
I was going to say, any idea?
Oh, yeah. The problem is that most scientists and genuine men and women on this planet who have visionary thinking are still bound and locked in by the constraints of what they believe to be true and physically capable of. There are only a few luminaries, in the true sense of the word, and visionaries, who were capable of thinking outside of the 3D prism. So when you look at something, if you just assume that it can maintain or hold or create or reduce at the rate that a physical world and the constraints of the physical world will allow it, then that's what you get. You get an insoluble problem. You don't get the answer to it. But when you start to say, well, let us think what's impossible from the planet's point of view, and we say, well, what should it do? And then we can maybe not even bring a mathematical formula to express that. You see, that's a problem. If there isn't a mathematical formula to show the answer, how can you find an answer if you're looking at it purely from an Einstein type of way? I would suggest that there are a number of organizations on the planet that have the answer for that, but there's absolutely no way that they're prepared to give that answer, because to do so is to open what they would call Pandora's box, and a number of other, from their perspective, sacred towers would come tumbling down, because if all ordinary academic in a learning institution could suddenly start to think in a way that he or she had not been taught by the university or the establishment, then it makes a mockery of these establishments. Why would we need them? The whole point about universities is to make sure that people think in the approved fashion. Now, you know, that's all schools are. All schools and universities are not there to teach you. They are to say, this is the approved line, and we're going to teach you the approved line. And if you want to get a qualification and you want to go and work in that industry or whatever it might be, you have to repeat the approved line. So if that is the truth, and I believe that's the truth, how could anybody overcome quantum issues? Because until incredibly recently, most establishment organizations were unprepared to move outside of the norm. So yes is the answer. Until the system allows individuals to think and then to reward them for thinking outside of it, we won't get the answer to the public. The only other way is that those organizations that have the answer could release it, but they won't release it until we have a mind change on the planet. And incidentally, there are a number of other, you could express them as chemical formulae, or action-reaction formulae, that there appear to be no answer for. But there is. If you remember when the 1951 film, When the Earth Stood Still, and Klaatu, the alien who'd come down with his robot, and he goes into the professor's room, takes a piece of chalk, and then he starts writing and adding to the professor's calculus. And when the professor comes back, and he basically says, well, that can't work because it would have the opposite effect. And something along those lines. And Klaatu says, but that's exactly what you want. In other words, that you, the human, have been taught that this is contrary to the reaction you're expecting, but that is what you want. And that was, for me, the best part of that film, not the robot melting tanks, but the Earth human professor realizing that the answer was incredibly simple, but his university-backed teaching had prevented him from escaping out of that prison box. So it's a good question, thank you.
Very good. This is from Robert. Hello, Simon. Hello, JP. Thank you for all the positive work you do. Will there be an economic crash or correction in the stock market in the month of July or August? If yes, will it be caused by a geopolitical event? Will it cause an increase in the price of oil and raw materials and gold? Will this be the beginning of a recession? Or will there be a temporary recovery beforehand?
Right, there's something that comes up every time in my news bulletin, and so it should, because it's potentially one of the most difficult in the short term. I and others, 4 or 5 years ago, were saying there would be some form of crash in 2017. We actually thought it would come last year, and for those people who did the research, you'll find that depending on the research you look at, the major European bank, the biggest bank in Europe is Deutsche Bank, and depending on where you look, you get between 6 hours and something like 12 hours. The bank was that far away from a total meltdown. Somewhere between 6 and 12 hours would have been an absolute collapse with that bank, which would have brought all of Europe down. But they were saved because, I think it's the Qatari government and some Saudi Arabians came in and bailed out the bank. Had they not done that, there would have been a huge crash. Now, why did Qatari government bail out Deutsche Bank? Because they already own something like 10 or 15% of the bank. And we know the Qatari government hold a large number of bonds from Deutsche Bank. And if Deutsche Bank had gone down, they would never have got the interest on their bonds. And interestingly enough, this year, Qatari government started to sell their bonds for Deutsche Bank and said they didn't want any more because they believed that Deutsche Bank was going down the plug hole, as we say in Great Britain. To answer the question in a wider term, and I mentioned it on my bulletin, some people may not have got it because the server went down, and you'll have to pick this up on YouTube. I think to date, since January of this year, something like 5 major newspapers in Great Britain have covered this story, basically saying there is a crash. What's going to cause it? I would imagine it was either going to come from the United States or potentially Great Britain. One of those two countries are going to trigger it. If it comes from the US, it will be because the Dow Jones at 21,500, the highest in its history, is overblown, and somebody at some point is going to say, I'm pulling my money out. There's nowhere to go now. And that will start the domino effect. As long as Donald Trump looks like he can deliver on making America great again, people will keep their money in the Dow Jones. If it appears that the system, the elite, are succeeding in stopping him. And we're talking about the Fed and several other organizations. If they are, because they are actively trying to stop Donald Trump being successful, there's no doubt about that. So if they are successful and they can derail Trump's program to make America great, then we will see confidence go, and there will be another 1929 Wall Street crash. How will that affect oil? It won't do oil much, but gold, my goodness me, gold prices will shoot up. So will silver, platinum, uranium, many, many precious metals, materials will really spike up. How will it affect people? It'll be worse than the Lehman Brothers collapse in 2008, because that was a specific rarefied element of the banking world. But a stock market crash affects everything, not just real estate. It goes right down to retail. And if you hit retail, then you hit ordinary people who have to trade and shop. So any potential crash through a stock market collapse will be worse than the 2008/2009 situation. And those of you who are a bit young and don't remember the 1929 crash, and I don't remember it either, but if you go on and you search it online, you will see that the wealthy were untouched. But the middle group, the people who played the stock exchange, but weren't the billionaires, they were just fairly well-to-do, they were decimated. And there are a number of photographs of middle-class guys selling their motor cars, saying, I lost everything in the stock market. But the likes of the Bushes, etc., they see the crash coming, and they get out. They move their money elsewhere. But the other people who don't have access to this, they're the ones that hit hard. Now, the very poor, they don't have money in the stock exchange, so they don't initially feel the impact. But 3 months, 6 months later, when all the other services are being impacted and firms stop hiring people for work, the government can't pay out the pensions, it can't pay out the social care money, that's when the low end of people start to feel it. So all ends of community will suffer except the elite. But isn't that the story on this planet since day one? So thank you for that.
Great. Now, this is a very... Okay, I'll just read it. My heartfelt thanks for your service to humanity. You are a guiding star for us. My question is, now, are you familiar with Anton Parks?
I'm not.
Right, okay, it's about this. I'll see what you think, because there are some names. In Anton Parks' book, Secrets of the Dark Stars, he talks of the Draco Queen Mamitu Namu as belonging to a group of priestesses called the Amasutom, who in turn are aligned with a higher species, the Kadishtu, who are part of the forces of creation, it says here. What part do the Amasutom and the Kadishtu played in the historic journey of humanity? And if so, do they still play a part behind the scenes, and what is that? Thank you for telling
us. Right, the Orion Empire. And this is one of the groups that held sway in ancient Egypt. Not just the Egypt that we are familiar with, but the earlier periods of Egypt, which Egyptologists won't talk about. So it turned into a sun god worship. The two groups, the Sirius or Cyrus Federation and the Orion Empire, were the two major reptilian-type groups that fought for control over the city-states of Earth. So, I don't know, for 500 years, it might be the Orion Empire who had ascendancy, and then they would be in marriage, and then the Sirius or Syrian group would be predominant. This is not a human group. This is not your ordinary merchants or your religious people or your, ordinary people. This is the elite group who held power on the planet and were continually, their minds were taken with all the machinations and the games of power play going on. Which members of the family would be dominant? Was this person okay? Was this person not okay? Who should you marry? That's why they were self-consumed with playing all these games, and hence why in later cultures, in the more modern New Kingdom, in ancient Egypt, the Pharaoh's court was modeled on this. So it's a line that created a very much part of the ancient Egyptian culture. So I hope that helps you. Thank you. It's a good question.
Yes, indeed. A question about the solar eclipse has been kind of dotting around. So I'm going to ask it here right now because people are saying, oh, can you ask Simon about the eclipse? So various people have said, could you speak about the total solar eclipse? There's also ideas about that eclipse might have some effect on technologies and things like that. So what's the news on the eclipse that's coming up in August?
Right, it's a really good question. And I haven't done it on the radio show because I've only had one source of information on this. And you know, for people who follow me fairly closely, and thank you, I appreciate you for doing that. I only generally go public when I get two independent sources of information which confirm each other. At the moment, I've got one source and not a second source. But as you've asked me the question, I won't say this is going to happen. I will just say that I've been told about this. When we have an eclipse, there is a small amount of time that the Earth does not receive real-time information from the main star. But that doesn't matter because there are secret libraries. I can't think of a better word for this. There are secret libraries stored around the Earth that hold like a generator. They hold a reserve amount of information. So when the signal is cut off, these generators carry on and take it up. Now, if we were cut off for a very long length of time, things would go wrong. So around 66 million years ago, a piece of Nibiru crashed into the Earth, wiped out the dinosaurs. The material that was thrown up into the sky largely, not totally, largely blocked out the sun. And so the encoded energy was not received by the Earth. And after a while, the memory banks failed. And so we saw loads and loads of creatures begin to die out. And those creatures that had a different connection, didn't require the memory banks like crocodiles, alligators, they were never wiped out by that meteorite. So they were able to live. But other creatures that relied on a much more everyday sort of update couldn't survive it. So what I've been told is there's a plan, and that's all we've got at the moment, a plan from sort of Agenda 21 people, so the worst sorts of people there are, to use that blanked out period to attempt to take out a number of generating stations, communications, to knock it all out and to say it's some sort of natural disaster. So that's only one piece of information I have, but there are, according to this source, some serious plans to use that, 30 seconds, a minute and a half, where the Earth is disconnected, to attempt to hijack some of the infrastructure on the planet. So yeah, if I obviously get more information, then I'll go public with it. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much. All right, a very quick question from someone who came to Watford last week and was wonderful to see you. You provided information about the insurance company that covers the damages and the sad tragedy of the Grenfell power fire. I don't know if you actually said... can you tell us more about the name of the insurance company in one way or another?
I didn't give the name of the insurance company. What actually happened was while I was doing my talk, I noticed a guy at the back of the hall with an enormous telephoto lens. Now, two times ago, I did a talk at the same hall. A member of the press did not declare himself. He was actually the Daily Express. And although he sat through the whole day, and there were four or five speakers, he only wanted to comment on me. And this was my talk, a little bit about Putin et cetera, et cetera. But Putin was the bit he wanted to hook in on. And I stopped the debate or the conference, and I shouted to this man, "Are you a member of the press?" And then, of course, everybody looked round at him, and he did say no, he wasn't. But what I noticed was he disappeared. It is not normal to stand in a hall with an enormous telephoto lens taking photographs. And I think that interrupted the flow of my, well, it will obviously interrupted the flow of my talk. And now I don't remember the name of the company, but if you actually go online, you'll find that because of the police investigation and some of the journalists now are digging stuff up, you'll find that that name is available. And so although I don't remember it at this point, you can go online and you'll find it. It's a Norwegian company.
How very fascinating, Simon. It so reminds me of the whole Larry Silverstein getting, insuring the building, the Twin Towers, yeah, for all that money, and actually insuring both of them and trying to get a payout on one each. That's chutzpah, as we say. So, reptilian celebrities, here's a good one. Quick short question. Is it true both Adele and Justin Bieber were caught by their fans shape-shifting into giant reptilians?
Well, I don't know.
You didn't hear about that?
Well, listen, I didn't see it, and I, you know, people will say they've seen this and seen that, and, you know, one has to be very careful. I will tend to only go with something that's a person who's trusted to me, someone I know, obviously. What I would say is that if somebody shapeshifts, that doesn't mean they're evil. What you've got to look at is the particular singer. What do they sing about? If they are singing and they are just repeating Illuminati symbols, and they're just mind programmed, and they are trying to replicate those mind programs with the public, and they are clearly playing someone else's agenda, then regardless of whether they shapeshift or not, they're not good. They may be a victim because they are mind control themselves, and they are playing out what their programs tell them to do. But ultimately, that's not a good thing. If they are giving good...
Well. Okay, we're back. I know. So that was very interesting. That just kind of boom, out went my router, actually. Interesting.
Excellent. That shows you that someone don't like what we're talking about.
Oh, good.
So basically, then I would say that that must have happened, because we would not have been cut off like that if it hadn't have happened. So for me, that's the evidence that it did happen. Thank you. Thank you for cutting us off, because you helped me to answer the question.
Okay, now we've got a few minutes left, and people were saying about a meditation. So would you be in a position to lead us through a short meditation, Simon?
No, because I know people were excited, but what I actually said was that I would not impose that meditation on people. I would ask the membership of Connecting Consciousness what they wished the meditation to be. So I will ask over the next few days Connecting Consciousness members, who will then message their coordinators, who will then get in touch with me, and then I will go with the majority. So I won't just choose a subject. The ordinary members will choose the subject, and then I will make that happen. So I know we'd love to do one now, but that's not how I work it. I want the people of the organization to tell me what they want, and I'll make that happen. Thank you.
Okie dokie. So, then one final question. Let's see. Right. Okay. All right. So this is about, people, episodes of emotions. This is from Hold My Calls, the Events and Emotions Commission. I must say, I am impressed.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
What did you say? What's the name of this person?
Hold My Calls. calls. Oh. No, sorry, sorry, not call. Yeah, calls, as in telephone calls, yes. I must say I'm impressed. I appreciate very much what you do. I anticipate the FairX program and await as to what to do for it to succeed. It seems I am experiencing up and down emotions, happy one minute and depressed the next. Is this connected to the so-called event? How does one control these episodes? And does Orgon, presumably Orgonite, help?
Right. We sort of had a similar question earlier, and of course the questioner wouldn't have known that when he or she wrote that question. There are not 101, but there are many reasons why individuals are feeling bursts of energy one moment and then very lethargic the next, super connected in one moment and then, you know, a little bit out the other time. You can't say what it is, because every individual is exactly that. You know, we are all individuals and we will respond or react to the same stimuli differently. What we can do is say that the Earth is going through this tremendous positive change, and all of us are, in our own way, having to adapt to that. For some people it's relatively easy, for others it's not. You know, you can have one wave of energy come in and half the population are okay with it and half aren't. 3 months later, 6 months later, there's another wave and it reverses. The other group who had been okay with it aren't, because it's slightly different frequency and designed to do differently. It's perfectly normal to feel all over the place. as long as it's not a medical condition, as you know, as long as you're not, your physical body is not ill, it's perfectly normal. Most people, even those who consider themselves to be very divine and, you know, very spiritual and I'm above all this sort of thing, they're not. They will be affected just like everyone else, and we're all affected in different ways. So one day, you know, JP, I want to run up a mountain, and the next day I can hardly get out of bed. That's actually normal, because we are connected to the great changes that are going on. If I'm going to put my 3D hat on now, if a person feels unwell, then you need to, you know, consult whoever you trust to provide you with medical information. So you shouldn't just assume that it is the change on the planet. You may have a medical condition, in which case you need to get that looked at. But in most cases, this is temporary, and is that. Now, if you feel you're being psychically attacked, either somebody's mind or a combination of someone's mind and an electronic device, then you need to seek help and support to deal with that. So there are many reasons why we are all feeling what we're feeling at the moment. Most of it's positive. Some of it's obviously negative. So I can't be any more specific than that, because there are so many possibilities that could be happening. But thank you. And that's about it, isn't it?
That is it as it is. Thank you very much, Simon. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Have you got any big do's? You got any gigs?
I've got, I love doing my, Skype presentation to the Yelm Theatre over in the west coast of America. I've got that in July. That's usually about 2 hours or 4 hours long. That's really good. I've got another conference somewhere, and I just have to put them on my website and people can see what we're up to. So thanks ever so much to everyone who's listened. You know, you really are wonderful people, because you are not caving in. You're not giving in. You are seeking truth. You will not be blackmailed or frightened or pushed or influenced or thrown into panic. That's what we need. Level-headed, spiritual people. Plant your feet squarely on the ground and say, nope, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do what's right. And if we can do that, then actually we will win through. So thanks, everybody.